Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. So glad to have you here. Now, I bet that a number of you at home, you were just doing this, you know, as that screaming guitar solo at the end of the song. Hey, and shout out to Ian Buchanan and team. Ian actually produced all of the tracks for that song. So like 20 different instrument tracks. Ian, you did a fantastic job. But guys, thanks for joining us for worship today. By connecting online, it enables us to stay connected even from a distance. It's just so fun to see people signing in from all over the place. Everything from, I see Todd and Carrie Ann Gladman. I can see Rick and Alzi Kane. So people from all across the Wenatchee Valley as well. So thank you so much for joining us. A few little shout outs here. It has been a birthday weekend for Malia Floyd. So happy birthday, Malia. Also for Pastor Paul and for Pastor Gayla. It has been a birthday weekend. So make sure to mention that in the comments. And it happens to be Don and Gail Miller's wedding anniversary today. So congratulations, guys. And especially to you, Gail. You put up with that dude for a long, long time. Thank you. We love you. And you'll see this. And as we are commenting along in the chats, it gives us an opportunity to pray for one another. So we are praying with Gayla for her sister, Angela, who's in the hospital right now, and just praying that God would be doing profoundly healing things in her life today. A few other things to be aware of. Of course, we are looking forward to being able to reopen the building for in-person worship soon. All the social distancing, all that stuff that we're doing here with our social distancing media team, and wearing masks, and we are looking forward to when we are able to regather in the building. Some of those things will be in place, and we're working hard behind the scenes to make that happen. So I do got to give a shout out to, we had quite a work crew here yesterday, actually, improving the internet of the church. So big shout out to Greg, to Michael, to Drew, and to Aaron. So thank you so much for doing that. If you aren't yet receiving email from Columbia Grove, would you take a moment and send us a note at office@columbiagrove.org? It'll allow you to stay in the information loop so that as things open up, as new opportunities open up, we can let you know about that just as quickly as possible. And if you are willing to help, if you can volunteer in some way, please email Pastor Paul at paul@columbiagrove.org. It makes such when you do that. This is a time for us to connect. And so we have a prayer team that is available. So you can see some numbers that you can call right now if you'd like to pray with somebody. You can see those in the show notes or the comments that are kind of underneath and around this video. So do check those things out or just let us know. You can either direct message us here at the church or let us know in the chat stream and we can be praying for one another. If you're lifting up a prayer request for somebody else, unless it's an immediate family member, you know, please know nothing more than a first name or something like that, just because Facebook is a pretty public place. But thank you so much, everyone who is giving of your time, of your talents, of your resources. You've been enormously generous. And if you would like to give towards the ministry of Columbia Grove, you can go to columbiagrove.org and click on the Give tab, or you can also find the link again in the video notes for this live stream. We are going to be celebrating communion a little bit later in the worship service, so I invite you to get some juice of some sort, some bread of some sort, especially if you're one of our house churches right now. You can be getting ready to serve one another in whatever way is going to be appropriate for that setting, or if you're just with your family, which is fantastic. I mean, one of the things I love that's kind of been happening because of all these online worship services is that families are getting in the habit of ministering to each other in communion. It is so cool. It's actually been one of my favorite things about as we've been leading from our own home. Kind of missing that a little bit, but excited to see my family on the live stream right now. So let's see. Also, speaking of the live stream, if you would take a moment to like Columbia Grove if you haven't done that yet, or to subscribe to the to our video channel on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube right now, and of course to share it to share the stream so that other people can see it. Oh, I don't want to forget that we have a yard sale coming up on Saturday, July 18th. You can bring items to donate for that yard sale by the church during office hours, so Monday through Thursday, 10 to 4 o'clock, and we'll be looking forward to getting those things out there and making a difference that way. All right, well, let's open our service up in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Elijah and Manny to lead us in worship, and then to Susan Letts to lead us in congregational prayer. But let's just take a moment to still our hearts before God. The crazier the week you've had, the more, if you're like me, the more you just need to focus in on Jesus. So I just invite you to do that now as we pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you that you're here with us. Thank you, God, that you love us tremendously. Thank you that you meet us as we worship you, as we join together around your word. Thank you that by the Holy Spirit, you lead us and guide us and you provide us with strength. And so God, we want to turn this time over to you. And we ask you to direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as Elijah and Manny are leading, just invite you in the comment section to leave a comment, especially a praise phrase. You know, something that reminds you of God's goodness. So let's encourage one another with that as we worship together. Guys, thanks for leading us.
Life to shine your light. Your love, Lord, no mind can fathom the love you deserve. How great you are. No eye has seen, no ears heard the depths of your love, Lord. No mind can fathom love you deserve. How great you are. No eye has seen, no ear has heard the depths of your love, Lord. No mind can fathom love you deserve. How great you are. There's none beside you, God. Live my life to shine your light. 'Cause there's
Good morning, Columbia Grove. For those of you that don't know me yet, my name is Susan Letts, and I'm very pleased to be here with you this morning so that we can worship our Heavenly Father together. Won't you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are with us this day to guide, comfort, and sustain us with your love, wisdom, and grace. We give thanks for this beautiful creation you allow us to enjoy, and also for the love, grace, and goodness that we see in one another. We are especially thankful for the leadership you provide for us through our church staff and for all of the hard work that they are doing in order to allow us to continue worshiping together during this unprecedented time of being under lockdown during the coronavirus pandemic. May you continue to guide and protect them and their families as they face these challenges. We pray for our government officials on a local, state, and national level, that they are led by your wisdom so that they make decisions that allow people to live according to your will. We pray for our servicemen and women and for their families, that they may be led and comforted by you wherever they are serving and with whatever challenges they may face. We pray for our missionaries serving around the world, especially where they may face persecution for spreading the gospel. We give thanks that the Gandhi family has arrived safely in Shaktulik, Alaska, and may minister to the people living there. We pray for our local ministry as house church groups are forming, in-person Bible study and connections groups are resuming, and for the reopening of our building to in-person worship. We pray for your guidance in each of these endeavors, and we pray for your wisdom to enable us to transition safely, keeping the health of members in mind. We pray for those who are hurting, sick, and lonely, for those facing struggles in marriages, with parenting, unemployment, and addiction, for the depressed who are feeling isolated and alone and are asking for comfort. We pray for those who do not yet know you. We pray for care for those who are on the margins of society. the defenseless, the hungry, the persecuted, the unborn, the poor, the elderly, the refugee, and the immigrant. We pray for Tammy Wilson as she recovers from surgery. We also pray for the Schwark family as they grieve the passing of Carl, and for the Belton and Penfold families as they grieve the passing of John. We now ask for our hearts to be open to hearing your word as it is preached, and for guidance as we go forth in sharing the word. Thank you, Lord, for comforting and guiding us and hearing our prayers. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thanks, Susan, so much for leading us, and Manny and Elijah, thanks for leading us in worship. I've asked them to just be following along in the back, so you might see them commenting on their phones or just following along in the scriptures, having a little bit of an amen section behind me. That's amen. Fun. I like that. It's good. So, guys, thanks so much for doing that. We are in just such a strange time, aren't we? Just as a way of kind of checking in with each other, I wonder if you would leave a comment to this phrase. Right now, I think people are feeling blank. So, let's take a moment and love to hear what you have to say about that. Because I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing quite a range of emotion these last few months. It just seems like it's more of a roller coaster, I guess, than ever before. There's days where I feel overwhelmed, days where I feel angry, maybe retreating, sometimes even being overly accommodating. But just it's a strange, strange season. You know, so I see people like, well, Tony says frustrated, Sandy frustrated. Yeah, people are feeling frustrated. I know I am too. Wow, we have a lot of votes for frustrated. So Susan, Wendy, frustrated, lonely. But people are feeling a lot of different things. The isolation is really hard. But in the midst of all this, I also would like you to take a moment to comment on this question. Scared, angry, frustrated, ready to resume. But would you take a moment to comment on this one? I want to be. I want to be. So you can even use the whole phrase just so people can know which of the two phrases you're responding to if you like. But I want to be. I want to be. Because I think for myself, you know, I even though this is a really difficult time, in my heart of hearts, you know, I want to be a person of faith, strength. Or today in particular, I want to introduce you to a phrase that we just see, especially here in the book of Acts, a phrase that this is really the topic for today, but the phrase holy boldness. Because what we see, and this is why I just love being in the book of Acts right now, is we see a church that is struggling with all sorts of change, all sorts of things that are all sorts of forces working against them, and in the midst of it, they thrived. I mean, it's a sheer miracle that the message of Jesus made it out of the first century. When you look at all the opposition, it's a sheer miracle, and it is a miracle because God was involved. He strengthened them. And he strengthened us. And the same Holy Spirit that was present in ministering to and in and through the book of, you know, the early church in the book of Acts is with us right now. So I wanted to spend some time actually with a story we'll find in Acts chapter 4. So if you got your Bibles and you're turning there, we're going to be reading from verses 18 through 31. And this is it's a story of where the church is feeling its first real opposition post-Pentecost. So Jesus has died, he's risen, they've seen it, they've been convinced by the evidence they've seen. Jesus has ascended up into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, and then 50 days roughly after his death, the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, and the church started moving in power. We even looked at some of that last week, you know, spoke in other tongues, amazing stuff. Or I should say 2 weeks ago, and then this first real like well-documented, super public miracle has happened as a lame man is healed. Well, it forms a crowd. Peter preaches this really bold sermon. A whole bunch of people come to faith. And then the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the same group of people that saw to the execution of Jesus start leaning in on Peter and John. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 18. So then they called them in again. So the rulers and elders of the people, they called Peter and John in again, and they commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. I wonder what those further threats were. But they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they said this, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." So they're quoting from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great," and then we get to our word of the day, "with great," now if you're at home, let's say it together, okay? Or if you're part of my amen section, my masked amen section, my band, yeah. All right. "They spoke the word with great
boldness,
with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. And then there's our word of the day again. They spoke the word of God. Say it out loud with me. Boldly. They spoke it boldly. So let's talk about holy boldness. So what is holy boldness? So I want to define it by what it's not. Here's what holy boldness is not. Holy boldness is not, excuse me, is not human bravado. Now, human bravado isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's good sometimes to pump each other up. I mean, I think of things like the hashtag "We've Got This" or hashtag "Wenatchee Strong." I've posted like that, and it's good. Yeah, we can make it through. And it's good sometimes to be positive talking to each other, but holy boldness goes a whole lot further than that. Or you think of we're music fans in our house. This is a shout out to my daughter, Elizabeth, the Queen song. "We are the champions, my friend." Ian would just rock the guitar on that. Anyways, but it's fun sometimes to pump each other up with that. But holy boldness is not human bravado. It's not just saying to one another, "Hey, you're awesome. I'm awesome. We've got this." It's trusting in something much deeper, because the anchor point of holy boldness isn't ourselves. It's God. That we are made bold because of our awareness of who God is, what God is doing in the world, and our trust in him. So holy boldness is not human bravado. Not all human bravado is bad, but it goes way deeper than human bravado. Here's the second thing. Is holy boldness is not disrespectful of authority. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. Because, see, if you're a Bible scholar and you're kind of reading along. Now, see, here in Acts 4 and Acts 5, we see an example, actually, of the early church leaders disobeying a direct order from the chief priests and rulers. Now, I am reading a little bit into the tone, but bear with me for a second. But I do hope that if you're a Bible scholar, you know, you hear some dialogue in the Bible, that you're really careful about how you read the tone of that dialogue. Because when we just see the words, but we don't hear how those words are said, it can be hard to know exactly what's being said. Like if a friend sending you a text, they say, "What are you doing?" You don't know the tone of that, right? That's why face-to-face and voice-to-voice conversation is, if you're ever in a conflicted situation, choose voice-to-voice, face-to-face over text. Texting all the time. Texting rarely will solve problems because you don't know the tone, because that could be everything from like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" to the playful, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, if your spouse, you know, texts you, "What are you doing?" You're like, "Well, I'm not busy now." Like it can mean a lot of different things depending on the tone, right? And so as we hear Peter and John's response to the chief priests and elders, I'm going to make an assumption that the tone was respectful. And here's why. It's because as we read further into the book of Acts, we hear in greater length how the early church responded to those leaders when they were called to account. And we see teaching from the Apostle Paul later on in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. So let's just take a look at that. We're going to jump there for a second. Is it, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." So the scriptures, they point us to this really, this high view of respecting authority. So we need to take a closer look at what's going on here. And I think we can even, you know, because we recognize that the scripture is unified. The scripture speaks with one voice throughout. It's fair to assume, I believe, that the early church leaders, even Peter and John, as they're responding to the chief priests and elders, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speak about what we have seen and heard. That even as they are about to disobey this order, they're doing so with an underlying tone of respect. It's because there are a few times, there are very, very few times where as Christians we are called to disobey human authority. And here's maybe a summary phrase that can help us navigate those times. If human authority tells you to sin, don't. There you go. Yeah, they're like, "Yeah." But if human authority tells you to sin, don't. But that's why throughout history, you know, there have been a very, very few times where Christians will disobey the laws of the land. You, in the most respectful ways possible, looking for creative ways to work within the legal systems all the time. But so that might be everything from evangelism. Like our church, we support some missionaries that are doing Christian work in countries where Christian missionaries are illegal. Now, we follow all the immigration laws. We do all those things very, very carefully. But the one thing we cannot help but do is tell people about Jesus and what Jesus has done. Historically, Christians have at times smuggled Bibles into countries where the Word of God and distributing the Word of God was illegal. We're increasingly doing it in creative ways. I mean, you can email the Bible to somebody. It's fantastic. I mean, so we use technology. We do things within the law. we are respectful, but there are times where there is a higher law that we need to follow. If somebody ever made a law, and there perhaps have been places and times where this has happened, where that says, don't feed the hungry, don't help the sick, don't ever minister to the prisoner, Christians would find ways to creatively do all of those things. And we have, in the most respectful ways possible. Or you think of, I realize this is February, but you know what, the story of Valentine's Day? And the person we know is St. Valentine. Well, you know, the reason we remember St. Valentine and Valentine's Day is because there was a period in history where there was a government that prohibited marriage because they believed that if guys were single, they would fight more ferociously in the army. If they had somebody back at home, they would kind of hold them back. And so marriage for a time, and in the place where St. Valentine lived, was prohibited. And so he held secret weddings. Because Christians make commitments to one another. It's part of what we do. So, if human authority tells you to sin, don't. Now, you might be wondering, because this is a place, even in modern times, where the church has been divided a little bit, you know, because with the pandemic and all the things that we need to do to guard human health, and we haven't been able to meet in person. But let me let in on a little secret. If you're watching this right now, we figured it out. We're doing something a little bit creative and a little bit subversive, perhaps. Because one way or another, we're going to find a way to meet. Now, I don't believe that, you know, the pandemic and the responses to it are persecution necessarily. I mean, we're being... The church is being treated in the same way as sports franchises or casinos or theaters. And I mean, it's being reasonably evenly applied. But even when there are significant barriers to doing the things that God calls us to do, like gather together to worship and worship God and encourage one another, we find ways to do it. Thank you for finding a way to do it. You're sitting there in your living room, you're in your front room, you're watching this on your phone, on your iPad, on your laptop. We are worshiping together right now. Isn't that cool? All right. I don't want to hit that point too hard, but I'd love to talk with you more about it because this is one of those live issues in faith right now. I'd love for you to join me Thursday night on our online Bible study. You may have a different opinion than me on some of these things. That's absolutely okay. But let's talk about it together. So, holy boldness. The early church had holy boldness, this ability, even in the face of all this adversity, to keep going and to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So, where does this holy boldness come from? Let's look at the first kind of obvious point. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. Right? The early church leaders, that they had witnessed the resurrection. They had seen Jesus die. They'd seen Jesus rise again. It's about 2 months later. They're thinking back on what Jesus had done, and it filled them with holy boldness, even in the face of those who were pivotal in bringing about Jesus' crucifixion. But they remembered what God had done. They had experienced God. So they remembered what had happened. And see, friends, you can too. So think of how Jesus has changed your life. Think about what he's done in you. The difference, the pre-Jesus you and the post-Jesus you. Think about that, how you've experienced God. As you do, as I do, as we do, it will fill us with increasing measures of holy boldness. God is good. And secondly, is the same God that we experience, whether in those dramatic moments, you know, I mean, because the dramatic moments in our life, we can't necessarily control when they happen. That's completely up to God's timing. But what we can do daily is we can set aside time to seek the Lord. And it's amazing what can happen when you set aside that 10, that 15, that 20 minutes, that whatever amount of time to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time remembering what God has done in the past, and just to ask Him to guide you today. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. That's why, church, I urge you, especially in this time of anxiety and frustration, and we are feeling all of those things. This is the time, church, to double down, if anything, on those just fundamental Christian habits of being in the Word of God, of spending time daily in prayer. The same Holy Spirit that empowered the early church can empower and strengthen you today, right here, right now. So that's the first thing. Holy boldness comes from experiencing God. But there's another place as well. And we see this really clearly in the text here. Holy boldness comes from remembering God's story. So the early church, they start to experience this persecution, this pushback. There's rulers that say, stop preaching Jesus. And they're like, we can't. And then they go back to the scriptures. They start reading Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Why did the nations rage? Why did the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together. They remembered that in the past, people have pushed back against the rule and leadership of God. It should come as no surprise to us, Christians. It should come as no surprise that in this world, we will have trouble. Jesus said that. But he also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. It's important that we remember where we are in God's story. So here, you could put this in a bunch of different ways, but here's maybe one way to do it. To remember, you know, the God's story starts with creation. A God who creates the world out of his love, creates a world that is perfect and good. After creation comes the fall. Humankind are the prototype, male and female, Adam and Eve. They, just like all of us who would follow in their genetic and in their spiritual legacy, they would choose to disobey, just like we do. So we are a fallen humanity. But God isn't through with us. And so he begins this rescue plan by raising up initially the nation of Israel, calling to Abraham and Abraham's offspring. And then through Abraham's offspring would come the one on whom all history pivots, Jesus, who would be born as a human being, who would teach, who would heal, who would die, who would rise again, who would ascend into heaven, and then would instruct and equip and empower us as the church to go tell the story everywhere, even in the midst of hardship. And that same Jesus, one day, we got to remember this, friends, that same Jesus, the one who lived and died and rose again, that same Jesus, he's coming again to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. We live in a fallen world right now. Things are not going to go right. But one day, I wish I could just look you straight in the eye, but one day, take heart, one day, that same God is going to set things right. One day, sin will be eradicated. One day, all of the things that we're experiencing will be such a distant memory that we can hardly even remember it, and the joy that we will experience it as we spend eternity with God in the new heaven and the new earth will be so much greater, be incomparably greater than the hardship and suffering that we're enduring right now. Holy boldness comes from remembering God's story and where we are in it, because God is not finished yet. Because friends, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can breathe life into the dead places in your life. The same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise you and me from the grave. Death is not the end. Whatever hardship we're experiencing right now is not the end. It is not the end of the story. God is not done, and God will ultimately prevail. Fill your heart with that. Holy boldness comes from remembering our place in God's story. So remember what he has done, church. Remember what he has done in you, in us, and remember what he is doing. And let the Holy Spirit today please fill you with holy boldness. If you're commenting along, maybe even just pray, God, fill me with holy boldness. But I want to go a little bit further with that. And so I want you to comment on two more things, because I want to actually put this into practice so we can encourage one another with our, you know, with our one word, two word, short phrase testimonies. Post on one of these two comments, okay? Would you do it? Jesus has given me blank. So Jesus has given me hope. Jesus has given me life. Jesus has given me a second chance. Remember what God has done in your past. What grace has accomplished in your life. Take a moment and do that as you do, as we do. God will fill us with holy boldness. And if you are distant from God today, you don't know necessarily where you are in your walk with Jesus, you can start that journey with him. You can start that relation with him right now. Jesus, come into my life. Be my savior. Be my forgiver. And Lord, change me from the inside out. So I'd like to see some comments on this. That's right. Hope. Jesus has given me hope, says Aaron. Jesus has given me forgiveness, says Bev. Jesus has given me strength, says Judy. And then post on this one as well. Through Jesus, I have. And you might even be the same word or phrase. But the thing that's good about that phrase is it looks forward to the future. Through Jesus, I have assurance of heaven. Through Jesus, I have no fear of death. Through Jesus, I have perspective for the following week, whatever that's going to be for you. Aylette says, Jesus has given me strength and understanding. Loretta says, Jesus has given me life and faith. Kelly says, hope and life. Keith says, life. Lana says, saved my granddaughter. The same Holy Spirit that empowered and strengthened the early church in the midst of persecution and hardship is with you, church, right here, right now. Let him fill you with holy boldness. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's doing. Remember where we're going. Remember that this is not the end. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the testimonies that are scrolling across the screens right now. God, thank you as we remember what you've done in our past personally, it fills a greater degree of holy boldness where our hope is anchored, not just in human bravado, but in something so much deeper. That our hope is anchored in you, in what you have done, and in what you are doing. Lord, I want to speak hope into those places where people are feeling despair. I want to speak hope into those places where people are feeling frustrated. Our frustration, it so often comes because life feels out of control, or it feels like the rules around us are so arbitrary and they're changing so fast and we don't know what to do. But God, we remember that you are the ultimate author and guide of history. And so when the nations rage and the people plot in vain and the kings of the earth rise up against the Lord and against his anointed way, remember, God, that you prevail. You prevailed over death in the resurrection. You prevailed over sickness in the multiple healings. You prevailed over despair in countless stories. You prevailed over hopelessness in our lives. You prevailed over sin. And that God, ultimately, you will prevail over everything. That one day we will stand before you. So Lord, help us to live every day in light of that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're with a house church right now, there's some questions actually you can see in the notes around the video. I'd encourage you, whether that's to start into that right now or in just a moment after we receive communion together, to take a few moments and talk about those questions. Or join me Thursday night. We'll talk about some of those questions online. Let's encourage one another with the stories of what God has done. And now as we move into a time of communion, I invite you to gather some communion elements. I have the ones that we're going to be using, we're going to be using them here in the room. And as we resume in-person worship soon, we'll be using these because they're individually wrapped and sealed and all those things. If you're at home, any sort of bread, any sort of juice. If you're with a house church, Whatever is appropriate for that setting, including if there are health reasons to not, maybe just move into a time of prayer together as a group. But here in these elements, in the body and in the blood of Jesus, we remember in a really tangible way what Jesus has done for us. Because friends, on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. I'm going to lead us in the time of prayer, and then I invite you to serve one another with the words you'll see on the screen: Christ's body given for you, Christ's blood shed for you. Lord, thank you for this tangible reminder of your presence and your power. This tangible reminder for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Because you gave your body, we live as forgiven people, where sin no longer separates us from you. Because you gave your blood, we are redeemed, we are made new, we are made whole. That wherever we were yesterday, we don't need to be in the same place today or tomorrow or for eternity. And Lord, thank you that transforming work continues even now, even today. We remember you, Jesus, in the body and in the blood. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to take a few moments and serve one another. And Manny and Elijah, they're going to lead us in a worship song as we do.
Oh, I want to.
Let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to say these words out loud. So in the house churches, in the families, the smallest unit of the church, as you minister to one another, even if it's weird, say it out loud. Let's pray these words out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Say that again loud. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, thanks for worshiping with us today. So glad that you did. Love to have you join us for a Zoom chat in just a few moments. You can find the link in the email that you might have just received, well, let's see, about an hour ago. Or I think one of our online pastors will post the link in the comments. You can just jump in and join us so we can check in with each other. We can encourage one another. Because more than anything, my prayer is that as we go from this place, we'll go filled by the Holy Spirit, filled with holy boldness, right? Remembering what God has done, remembering what God is doing, that we need not live in fear, no matter how frustrating and confusing and at times hopeless and lonely life can feel. We need not live in fear, but we can trust daily on the Holy Spirit to lead you and me and us. That's how we can love like Jesus. So Lord, go before us. Help us to be good and faithful ambassadors of your love this week. Help us to trust you in everything that we're doing, knowing that you're with us, remembering what you've done, and remembering the eternal future we have with you. We love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks for worshiping with us today.